psalm this morning, Psalms 23, and as you find your place, if you can, if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We've taken this chapter as our theme for the year, and we're going to go ahead and read the whole chapter this morning. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David writes, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house today. It's good to be around your word and to be able to have sung praises to your name. I pray that you just unite our hearts. Speak to my heart this morning. Unite our hearts as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of God. You can be seated. I was reading a story. There was once a newspaper in a small town, and they always had the practice of, if the pastor would like, he could call in and let the newspaper know what their title and the text would be for their Sunday message, and they would print them in the paper so that I guess all the people could look at it like a menu, I guess, and see what they were going to preach and what their subject would be and what the pastor was preaching on, maybe just to give his folks a brief look into what he was going to preach the coming Sunday. So one day a pastor called in and said, this coming Sunday I'm preaching from Psalms 23, and the title of my message is The Lord is My Shepherd. The secretary who answered said, well, will that be all? And the pastor answered, that's enough. But the secretary didn't understand what he meant by that, so when the title appeared in the paper, all it said was, The Lord is my shepherd, and that's enough. A familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Psalms 23 is beautifully written, and it encapsulates so much for us, and that's why we're going to take our time and walk through this passage very, very deliberately. And it's a beautiful portrait of the believer's relationship with God. It contains wonderful promises of comfort and closeness to the shepherd, and it demonstrates how our spiritual needs can be met in our shepherd. And one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, maybe perhaps its familiarity is only rivaled by John 3:16, perhaps. I remember as a kid, we'd watch sporting events on television, and there's one in particular where it seemed like every time there was one particular view, there was a guy holding up a poster board that said John 3:16. Anybody remember that guy? He died a few years ago, but he was the John 3:16 guy, but perhaps one of the most familiar portion of Scripture. One man said that it's probably no portion of Scripture in the Old or New Testament is more universally celebrated by both believers and non-believers alike. It's a passage that many have at least a surface familiarity with. It was written by David, the future king, the son of Jesse, who spent much of his early life tending his father's sheep. And it's interesting that is not written from the perspective of David, who was the shepherd, but from the perspective of a sheep and his relationship with his shepherd. And it's the idea of the sheep and the shepherd relationship taught in the Word of God is to describe the relationship that is available to the believer and our Heavenly Father. As I began thinking of this, I remember as a young person, as a teenager, and I've said it before, maybe here, I don't know, my memory gets... When I'm standing up here, I don't remember what I said before, last time I stood up here, but we used to work with goats. Have I said that before? I don't know. When I was a teenager, we worked on this farm a couple times a year throughout the summer, and they herded goats. Goats are dumb. Goats are, I don't know why people have goats, but we liked them. We got to play and run around, wrestle with them, push them over. They'd get back up, and they'd run at you and all this stuff. But they probably thought the same thing with us. Boy, those teenagers are dumb, and they were probably right. But there's a difference, though, between shepherding, like what David is talking about, and these goats. I wasn't comparing to say I was a shepherd. No. So I was just saying that's my complete history. That's my only point of reference is these silly goats that these folks paid us to go out and wrestle with and play around with. And every now and then we had work to do with them, but most of the time it was just chasing them around or they would chase us around. And so as I began thinking about this, and I've studied it before, one author kept coming back up and I kept finding a lot of relevance and relationship in his writing. It was a man named Philip Keller. Has anyone ever read Philip Keller's writings? You ought to. Philip Keller writes a book. It's The Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. It's a little book. You ought to buy it. You ought to read it. It's a good book. But he wrote this about this idea of shepherding. He said, to a great extent, the Bible is a collection of books written by men of humble origin who wrote under the guidance of the Spirit. Much of its terminology and teaching is couched in rural language dealing with outdoor subjects and natural phenomenon. The audience to whom these writers were originally addressing were for the most part simple, nomadic folk familiar with nature and the outdoor life of the countryside about them. He then went on to say, today is not the case. Many who either read or study the scriptures in the 20th century come from an urban, man-made environment. He said, city people are often unfamiliar with the subjects such as livestock and crops and land and fruit and wildlife. They miss much of the truth of God's word because they're not familiar with such things as sheep or wheat or soil or grapes. But that's why it's required of us today, as a child of God, we've got a great responsibility to be about studying the word of God and digging in it and understanding exactly what type of relationship he's talking about here in situations like this. And when Jesus taught about the soil and the seed being a picture of our heart, and here David's talking about the relationship between a shepherd and the flock. And a good shepherd knows each of his sheep, each and every one, regardless of how large the flock might be. A single flock could have as few as 10. It could have as many as hundreds. And when David used the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep to describe God, he talks not just about God and another one of his titles or positions, but the relationship between God and his children. Psalms 95:7 tells us, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And David begins this very familiar passage with these five words, the Lord is my shepherd. That might not mean much to us. We might just see it as flowery words, words that we've read on bookmarks or posters or picture frames or whatever you might have or can think about, t-shirts, whatever, coffee mugs, all of those different things. But this statement, when read or spoken to the readers of biblical times, would actually shake the readers in their thinking, because the temptation in ancient Israel was to speak only about our God, a corporate God, forgetting that the God of Israel was also the God of the individual, the God of the individual. This is another reason Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, and the importance of the shepherd immediately leaving the flock when one of them wanders away to bring the one back to the flock. David reminds us right off the bat this morning that sheep need a shepherd. If you remember, and you don't have to, it was a year ago, we began by preaching through John chapter 15, and we talked about where Jesus says, I am the true vine. He was implying that there are lesser vines. In this, we're also getting that implication that there are other shepherds. There are other things that we can follow, but David is making a definitive statement about to whom he belongs. The Lord is my shepherd. And let's not get offended or anything this morning by the fact that God is comparing us to sheep. God says we're like sheep. There are saved sheep, there are lost sheep, and David is submitting to us that sheep need a shepherd. A definitive statement, the Lord is my shepherd. It is of note this morning that we understand that God didn't say that we're like eagles.
He didn't say that we're lions, but he says we're sheep. Defenseless, dependent sheep. I want to remind you a little bit of some things that sheep are like. The first thing, you might want to write this down. This is going to make you feel real good. Sheep are smelly. Sheep stink. They do. Like any animal. I mean, if you've had a dog that's lived outside and it's never bathed, they just naturally stink, right? Animals outside have a particular odor about them. But a sheep can... I did the wrong one. We'll go to that one later. First one is not sheep are smelly. They are, but sheep are stubborn. Sheep can be stubborn. Sheep can be stubborn. Sheep get lost easily because they tend to go their own way. They're prone to wander. Like sheep, believers have a tendency to go their own direction rather than follow the shepherd. Psalms 119, 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And verse Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. There was a pastor that was visiting the highlands of Scotland, and the sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into places they couldn't get out of. And the grass on the mountains was very sweet, and sheep like it a lot, and they would jump down 10 or 12 feet, and then they can't jump back up again to get out of the problem. Thank you, Brazil. They would jump down, and they couldn't jump back up to get out of the situation that they'd brought themselves into. And the shepherd then hears them bleating in distress, them baaing and making noise, and they may be there for days until they've eaten all the grass, and the shepherd will wait until they are so faint that they can't stand, and then they'll put a rope around himself, and then he'll go over and pull that sheep up out of the jaws of death. And the pastor asks, why don't they go down there when the sheep first gets into that situation? Ah, the shepherd said, they are so very foolish, they are, the sheep. He said the sheep would dash away from the shepherd right over the precipice or the edge and be killed if they did. He said the reason he did is the good shepherd will bring them back the moment they've given up trying to save themselves. He says, and this is the way with men today, with us today. Sadly, we don't go back to God till we have no friends. We've lost everything. If you're a wanderer, the good shepherd will bring you back the moment you've given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him guide you back to his own way. I'm reminded of this. I've studied and preached the prodigal son, and I mentioned that when he gets to that moment where it says he came to himself after he found himself in the pig pen, that's what I have termed and I've taught and I've preached and called the point of total desperation, where we're tired of depending on self and we must depend on the Heavenly Father. He tells us, we're reminded that sheep can be kind of stubborn. And then here it is, sheep are smelly. I jumped the gun. I was really looking forward to this one because it uses the word smelly. Sheep are smelly. They stink. They need to be cleaned. But there's a danger in sheep. They have a bunch of very sensitive orifices in their face, their nose, their eyes, their ears, where insects can get in and disease can breed and they can die very easily. Sheep need to be cleaned. But they can't clean themselves. They don't bathe themselves. They remain filthy until the shepherd finds a way to clean them. And the same is true with you and I. We can't cleanse ourselves. Without Jesus Christ, we're lost in our sins. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. But the Bible says that he commendeth his love toward us. He showed or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible even goes on to tell us that as sheep who are smelly, who are stubborn, that we enjoy our own way so much. And the Proverbs reminds us that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. As a Christian, we can't cleanse ourselves. As a sheep, we can't cleanse ourselves without the Savior. Can't cleanse ourselves. Without the shepherd, without regular cleansing, the sheep can get very sick, and this often leads to death. And Proverbs reminds us, the Psalms reminds us that the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd, the shepherd that you and I need today is our Heavenly Father.
is the Lord. And the Bible tells us and teaches us over and over again that we can have this relationship with the Heavenly Father based on what Jesus Christ did for us in sending, in coming to this earth and being born as man and living a perfectly sinless life and then dying on the cross for our sins. We can have a relationship with Him. And then David would go on to say, as a child of God, how can we keep our way clean? He says in Psalms 119, verse 9, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Sheep are smelly. They need to be cleaned. They need to be close to the Savior to be cleaned. Then not only that, the sheep need guidance. They need the guidance of the shepherd for food and protection from harmful and poisonous weeds. Sheep will literally eat anything. And in a similar way, believers have a tendency to eat up the latest trends when what we really need is to find our guidance and our life from the Word of God. You see, the devil would offer us a smorgasbord for us to choose from, to live our lives by, and tell us that that's what we need. But none of it will lead you to the Lord. None of it will lead you to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And what the devil would offer doesn't do anything for our spiritual health. It doesn't do anything for our spiritual health. Psalms 119 reminds us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We'll never find satisfaction until we learn to accept what God wants for us and we learn to be content. Hebrews 13 reminds us of that. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Perhaps you're here today and you've decided that your way is best. My way is best. I'll do what I think is right. That's the very reason you need Christ. You need the Lord as your shepherd. As good as it appears to you, as good as your way might seem or feel or appear, the Bible says the way of man, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And for those without Christ, who don't know the Savior, who don't know the good shepherd, that way ends in separation from God forever in a place called hell. Sheep need guidance. You need a shepherd. We need to know the good shepherd. But then also understand this, we've kind of gone, you know, kind of south, stubborn, smelly, need guidance. But understand this also this morning, that sheep are valuable. They're valuable. And there's a very real struggle going on for the sheep. You see, there are those who are his sheep, those that are saved, and there are those who are not. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Sheep are dependent animals. They're defenseless animals. There isn't anything about a sheep that is very brave or courageous. Sheep get in trouble when they try to think that they aren't sheep. There aren't any good stories that I can think of about that end up in a good way for wandering sheep. On their own, they're even more helpless and defenseless than if they were with the flock under the care of a shepherd. There's nothing about a sheep that is noble or outstanding or majestic. Yet God says you are valuable. God says you have great value. So as a sheep, we need to not only realize our necessity for a sheep. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, you need to know the good shepherd. I'd love to introduce to you today Jesus to Jesus Christ, how that you can know that the Lord is your shepherd. And as a sheep in his flock, we need to learn to trust the shepherd's position. He says, David here, I love how he begins this psalm and he ends it. He begins with the Lord and he ends with the Lord. So there's no question about who he's talking about, who he's referring to, who he's communing with, and stating again and again and again the importance of the relationship of the sheep and the shepherd. I love the name that he uses for the Lord. He doesn't use many other names. The name he uses for the Lord is Jehovah. He says, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. This is a term of personal relationships, which means that we can get close to him. We can have a real relationship with him. We can have a close relationship with him. David could write this because he realized the condition of any sheep is totally dependent on the care of the shepherd. Those who are not satisfied in Christ, haven't come to the place where they completely trust the shepherd, aren't willing to give him their all, aren't willing to let him have complete control. It's an issue of surrender. It's an issue of obedience. And David could write about this because he realized the importance of the sheep being dependent upon the shepherd. And if the shepherd is lazy, the sheep can be sickly. If the shepherd is diligent, the sheep will be healthy. Our shepherd, our heavenly Father, the Lord as our shepherd, is deserving of control, is capable of managing our lives because of who he says he is. He reminds us in the Psalms that he's our creator. Psalms 100, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." The wonderful truth of the Word of God that David is presenting to us today is that the Creator of the universe is big enough to create and maintain it all, yet he's personal enough that he desires to have a personal relationship with you and I. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. Isaiah 53:6, we referred to this a moment ago. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We have the wonderful privilege to have a real personal relationship with God because our shepherd provides salvation. A personal relationship with Jesus that is based on his unconditional love for me and my trust in Jesus Christ as the only way. John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 10 reminds us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In spite of having such a wonderful Savior, a wonderful shepherd, a wonderful master, the fact remains that some Christians are still not content with his control. They're dissatisfied, always feeling that somehow the grass is always greener on the other side. There are those Christians who want the best of both worlds. But we can never be truly satisfied apart from trust in the Good Shepherd. The bottom line is that he is who he says he is. The Lord is my shepherd. We can trust his person. We must also trust his position. I don't believe that the Bible wastes words, and there are some key words in this first phrase in Psalms 23. The first one is that word is. It's present tense. You see, some try to live on past experiences with God. The Lord was my shepherd. We can't live on past experience. We can't live on past experience. We can't live on past successes. Others plan to get close to the shepherd in the future by saying, "The Lord will be my shepherd eventually." But David plainly states that the Lord is my shepherd, present tense. This means a couple of things. It means right now the Lord will care for you and protect you. Right now, right where you are. He knows where you are today. He desires that you return and repent and come back to him and get close to him. It's maybe simply just cry out to him. He's reminding us that right here, right now, you don't have to go someplace else to be in the Good Shepherd's care. He'll care for you and protect you right where you are. David had the complete assurance that he belonged to God. Whether it was in the wilderness or in the court of King Saul or on the battlefield facing the giant, David knew whose he was. There was no if, and, or buts, or hope so in David's mind. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's personal. It's present. It's continuous. He understood that. At all times, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he uses that very next word, my. A Sunday school teacher gave their class an assignment to learn the 23rd Psalm for the following Sunday because each student was going to recite it to the whole church. A little boy named Bobby just couldn't get it all in his head. He struggled all week long. Finally, Sunday came and the church is packed, standing room only, and suddenly it's Bobby's turn to say the Psalms. And his teacher whispered, "Okay, Bobby, it's your turn." Bobby was shaking like a leaf and sweating bullets. And then Bobby shouted, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know," he said. The Bible records this personal pronoun, my. David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. That makes him one of many. He didn't say the Lord is the shepherd. No, that makes him important, but impersonal. He didn't say the Lord is our shepherd. That makes him relate to me in a crowd as though I'm one among many. David knew that he personally belonged to the Lord, and the Lord longed to be close to him. Only when we fully understand that we belong to the shepherd will we find true satisfaction and true peace and true joy in knowing that. You see, Christ bore our sins. He took our pain. He took our suffering so that we could be one of his. The Lord has put his mark, put his seal upon us. Ephesians tells us you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Philip Keller wrote again in one of his other books. He wrote about when he bought his first few sheep. He wrote, each shepherd has his own distinctive mark, which he cuts into one of the ears of his sheep. In this way, even at a distance, it's easy to determine to whom the sheep belong. It was not the most pleasant procedure to catch each ewe in turn and layer on a wooden block and then notch it deeply with razor-sharp edge of the knife. There was pain. But from our mutual suffering, an indelible lifelong mark of ownership was made that could never be erased. And from then on, every sheep that came into my possession would bear my mark. And Christ bore your sins. He bore my sin. He took all of the pain and suffering. And in doing that, he's allowed us, through the gift of God, to be forever connected to himself through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his suffering for us. Ephesians reminds us of that. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 1 Corinthians 6 reminds us, Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. More than just the owner of the sheep, the shepherd is also the manager. He guides everywhere. He literally goes where they go. He literally leads where they lead. And I'm thankful that I can say as David did, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? There are many different things that we give our time to, jobs, homes, bank accounts, retirement funds, whatever it might be. The Lord is my shepherd, David wrote. A number of years ago, a preacher in San Diego prepared a sermon he titled, That's My King. And he had an amazing way with words, and here's what he wrote. He said, my king was born king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. That's my king. He said, I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. He's enduringly strong. He's eternally sincere. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He said he's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the sinner priest of civilization. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. I wonder if you know him today. He's the miracle of the ages. He supplies strength to the weak. He sympathizes and saves. He guards and guides. He heals the sick and cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners and delivers the captives. He blesses the young and defends the feeble. He regards the aged and rewards the diligent. That's my king, he wrote. He said, my king is the doorway of deliverance. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's the pathway of peace. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never fails. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish, he said, I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible and he's irresistible. That's my king. The heavens can't contain him. Man can't explain him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. Pilate couldn't find fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king, he wrote. He was in the beginning of all things. He has always been and he will always be. David said that the heavens declare his glory and the firmament shows his handiwork. And he's my savior and my king. Praise the Lord, I am his and he is mine. I wish I wrote that. That's my Savior. He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. The greatest decision that one can make is to trust Christ as Savior, to become one of His sheep. The greatest decision as a believer is that you determine and you choose that you're no longer in charge. Rather, you surrender to the Good Shepherd. You put your trust in his position as a shepherd. You stop thinking that the grass is greener. Stop listening to the lies of the devil. You trust his position. You trust his person. There's a story I read this week, and I'll finish here. There was an American tourist who was traveling in the Middle East, and he came upon several shepherds whose flocks had intermingled while drinking water from a brook. And after an exchange of greetings, one of the shepherds turned toward the sheep and called out his familiar call. He called in the Arabic. He said, "Follow me," in his distinct manner. And immediately his sheep separated themselves from the rest and followed him. Then one of the two remaining shepherds called out the same call, "Follow me," and his sheep left the common flock to follow him. The traveler then said to the third shepherd, who was still waiting, "I would like to try that. Let me put on your cloak and see if I can get the rest of the sheep to follow me." The shepherd smiled knowingly as the traveler wrapped himself in the shepherd's cloak and called out in the same call that the shepherd used. The sheep didn't move. They didn't respond to the stranger's voice. Not one of them moved towards him. He asked, "Will the sheep ever follow someone other than you?" the traveler asked. "Oh yes," the shepherd replied. "Sometime a sheep gets sick, and then it will follow anyone." Sometimes the sheep get sick, and they follow anybody. Who are we following this morning? God says we're all like sheep. We have his great value in the sheep, but sheep can be stubborn. Sheep can be prone to wander. You need a shepherd today. Alone, you can get sick. Alone, there's threat of death. Following the shepherd is the only way to go. And following the shepherds of this world might be pleasurable for a time. Who's your shepherd this morning? How sad it would be to believe in God but to never really trust him. How sad it would be as a child of God. You need a shepherd this morning. You need to run back to the shepherd today. Perhaps for cleansing. Perhaps for forgiveness. Perhaps for guidance. There's a big decision looming. Perhaps. Whatever it might be, the Lord wants to be our shepherd today. And that might mean you need to be his shepherd. You might need to come to him and be saved today. What a glorious day to be saved. A glorious day to receive Jesus Christ and become part of his flock. And there might be those here today who've just been, you're that wild sheep. You're on a cliff. You don't even realize it. You run over there because you saw something so sweet and so good. You had to go get it. And the shepherd's just waiting for you to come to the end of yourself. Stop fighting. Stop kicking. Stop biting. Stop butting heads. Just let the shepherd be the shepherd and be a sheep. Sheep get in trouble when they try to be a rhino. Sheep get in trouble when they try to be an orangutan. Sheep are sheep. They need a shepherd. You need a shepherd today? Let's stand this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What a loving relationship, a loving picture David gets. And for us to run from that and reject that would be a big deal today. Won't you come back to the shepherd this morning? Today could be the day that your relationship with the shepherd begins again in a new way of repentance and forgiveness. Today could be that day. Father, we thank you for the time together this morning. Thank you for your goodness and your love. You're so good to us. I'm so glad that we can say with David this morning that the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, may we be those that would seek him, that would trust him, that would run to him today. And we thank you and we love you. Be with these few moments as we examine our hearts before you and as your word is presented. In Jesus' name, amen.